Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Another spring preview to do, and it is the Ole Miss Rebels' time to be on the podcast. Michael Katz from the Daily Journal up there talking to us. I'm going to have to just ignore the blanket. We've already discussed it, but it's tough. I want you to know I'm struggling. I just want you to know that.
The blanket always stays.
Okay.
Those are
all right then. We all know what Ole Miss was and wasn't last season. You know, they were a team that coming into the season, it was very much a playoff or bust atmosphere up there. It ended up not working out. At the same time, I don't feel like they underachieved. I don't know how to make that make sense, but that was a really good football team. And there were some times where you were like, man, they may be as good as anybody in the country. And had they gotten into the playoff, I was pretty sure they would have advanced at least two rounds. Where is this Ole Miss team right now? Because they've won almost 40 games in the last 4 years. I think at this point I'm just prepared to accept that they're a consistent winner. How good are they going to be 2025?
And it's funny you brought up how good that Ole Miss team was despite it maybe not reaching where it wanted. They finished like second or third nationally in scoring and second in scoring defense. I mean, that's pretty insane for a team that didn't make the playoff. Again, combined three losses by less than 14 points total. They just caught some tough breaks when, you know, the year before they were really lucky in situations like that. Last year, they did not get those bounces that they needed. And, you know, in a year where I think they were expecting to really make the breakthrough, they came up just short. I think that this year, when I walked into our first spring practice a few weeks ago, the first thing I said was like, who are these people? I don't recognize anybody.
Yeah.
I was like, where's Jackson Dart? I've seen him warming up for 3 years. Like, where's Trey Harris? Where's Jordan Watkins? Where are all of these guys that we've gotten to know and were just like the mainstays of this program? I know that, you know, Jackson wasn't a high school recruit here, but, you know, he was here long enough that it almost seemed like he was. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was a guy that was all Ole Miss always. It's been odd looking around and seeing all of the new pieces. And they're talented. There's no question. Austin Simmons can throw the hell out of a football. There's no question. You know, he was forced into action last year against Georgia in the first quarter when Jackson rolled up his ankle or whatever it was, and he led a touchdown drive and did not look shocked or anything like that. So I think they're in good hands there. But, you know, when you lose a three-year starting quarterback and in an offense where the quarterback is so important in terms of reads and making the right RPO calls and throwing, making good decisions, throwing the ball, it's hard to expect the guy to step in and just do that as a guy who's never started a game. And the receivers, I mean, they're losing 2,500 yards-ish worth of wide receiver talent. Their running game was a mess last year, and, you know, they lose their leading rusher, and Jackson was their second leading rusher. And then you look at the defensive line, they led the nation in sacks per game, led the nation in tackles for loss, and you're losing four likely high draft picks from that defensive line, you know, highlighted by Walter Nolan and Princely Mon-Miellen. You know, I look around this team and I see, you know, they've replaced it well through the portal, of course, and they've recruited pretty well in high school recently. That's really been a focus, especially on the D-line. But, man, it's hard to, when they came up short last year and you lose all of those pieces, it's just hard, at least like right now, to look at that team and say that's a top six team like they were last year. And it's not like they might end up being better than last year, who knows? But I just think with when you've only got, you know, five, six, seven returning starters, whatever it is, I think it's hard to sort of put that on them. And, you know, like you said, you know, this is a consistent program now. They're going to win games. But I you know, the expectations, I think, have probably rightfully been lowered a little bit, at least for now.
Austin Simmons, you mentioned, you know, the appetizer that we got from him, just that little one course, but man, he looks so composed. What do you want to see from him this spring? What's the thing that Austin Simmons needs to have to be an effective quarterback in the SEC?
I mean, his arm talent is, we know what that is. You know, he's a left-hander. It's clean. You know, he was a reliever for baseball. He was throwing 94 as a freshman for Mike Bianco. I mean, this is a guy who is extremely talented and can do everything. Really smart kid. I think the biggest thing for us, and it's kind of hard to gauge that from a media perspective, is like how does he make this team his? Because it's a part of what made Jackson such a good player and teammate was he really owned that team and everybody followed him and he was the heart and soul. He was one of the toughest guys on the team. Players respected the heck out of Jackson. That's really hard to just assume that the next quarterback can just pick that up. So I think he's doing all the right things. I mean, again, the physical skills are there. Is he going to probably make some mistakes? Of course, he's a young quarterback, but he's smart. He graduated high school a year early or 2 years early, whatever it was, enrolled at Ole Miss, and he's been in the system for a while now. But I really think how he takes over the locker room is going to be fascinating to watch because it took Jackson a little bit, and obviously Jackson was in quarterback competitions his first couple of years. Austin Simmons, this is his job. There's no question. Lane Kiffin is not even pretending. This is QB1. So we know it's his job. How does he take over the team? In you don't need him to be Jackson. Lane Kiffin doesn't want him to be Jackson. He's got to be his own guy. But I think he has to control the team the way Jackson did for this team to go where it can go.
Ole Miss planning to play its best running back this year, or is that still an issue up there?
Man, he's every message board and every tweet. It's still coming up on every YouTube comment under a Lane Kiffin press conference is why didn't you play Bentley against Florida? It's a fair question.
It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, that
Who
running
do they got
back.
in the backfield, I guess, will be our question here. Because I know Logan Diggs is still, I'm not sure how fully healthy he is. What's the deal there?
He sounds like he's good to go now. We saw him a little bit in the Gator Bowl. That was the only game he played last year. He was recovering from that knee injury that he had at LSU. I think they're expecting pretty. He's gonna have to play a big part in this. But they did also pick up Kwon Lacy from Missouri, who was a big prospect coming out in the 24 class. Almost came to Ole Miss originally. Obviously, he's there now, and he didn't get a ton of carries when he was with the Tigers, but I think he's a talented guy that they're counting on. I think that last year when Henry Parrish went down against Arkansas, the running game just sort of fell apart and they were manufacturing things. I mean, there was one game where they had a receiver playing running back. I think it was against Florida when Micah Davis was running back, and everyone was like, "What is going on here?" And maybe we never got to the final answer on what was going on with Ulysses Bentley, but he's not there anymore, so we can't ask that question anymore, despite what commenters will still try to do. But I think the running back room's actually in a decent spot because you also bring in Shekhi Mills-Knight, who's a was a big he's a big time recruit as well. He's a four-star kid, really big, strong back, and it's hard to expect things from a true freshman. But it's not like it's unprecedented. Quinshon Judkins ran for 1,500 yards as a true freshman a couple years ago. So Lane Kiffin knows how to make it happen. But I think the running back room is in a good spot. It's just it's different. It's there's a lot of different. I think that's kind of the theme this year.
Where is the which of these two units, both of whom were really good last year, do you see like the most, maybe the most problems playing at this level this year? And that's receiver or the secondary. There's just so many new faces there. Which group are you more concerned about?
Secondary, really, for sure, and I think Lane has made that clear that that's probably the question mark. Even last year when that defense was really, really good, their pass defense wasn't like extraordinary. They were really successful because they got after the passer and they were able to force quarterbacks into making rush decisions, and things worked out that way for them. But they were kind of middle of the pack pass defense, and you're losing a lot of those guys. You're losing a lockdown corner like Trey Amos, who he might go first round later this month. You go top 2 rounds, you have to imagine for sure. He was a really good player. I don't know if we know if they have a guy like that. I think they hope they do with Braxton from Arkansas, but you don't know yet. So I think with the receivers they brought in, yes, it's hard to expect someone to be Trey Harris and Watkins and guys like that. But You brought in guys like Deshaun Stribling from Oklahoma State, who had like 800 yards last year. You bring in Harrison Wallace, who helped Penn State make a deep playoff run. You bring in Luke Haas, the tight end from Arkansas. You have really good production from other places that you feel can probably step in pretty seamlessly at receiver and as pass catchers. I don't think that same comfort level is there in defensive backfield. And if they don't figure that out, that could be a problem.
On the defensive line, Ole Miss made the decision to go with the guys they've got. They recruited what four-star kids a couple of years ago. Those, William Eccles and Cam Franklin, Xavier Harris has obviously been there for a while. Akilo Stone. Do you like that group? I mean, that's big shoes to fill with Nolan and Emmanuelle and Ivy and those guys. Can that group be close to what they were a season ago?
Again, like you said, it's a big ask to ask them to become All-Americans and All-SEC players, but I think that group's really talented. Again, like you brought in Cam Franklin a couple years ago, knowing that eventually he'd be ready for it. You don't bring in a five-star guy like that to sit on the bench. William Eccles, Jeffrey Rush, Jamarius Brown, guys like that, I think they have faith in them, and the transfer portals, it's really nice when you're just trying to get a stopgap, or you just have like one or two things to take care of when you're one or two pieces away. I think that Ole Miss felt really good that this line group was going to develop the way it did, and is someone going to be Walter Nolan or JJ Big East right now? I don't know, but there is another Umanmi Allen. They got his brother Prince Will from Nebraska, so there's some comfort there.
Like he's a Skywalker, so there's another.
I'm so glad that my computer doesn't try to correct me when I write that word anymore. It just gave up. It's like, all right, man, we're gonna put red under it, but we're not gonna
I had to do a couple years with Caleb ducking, so you don't
autocorrect.
talk about autocorrect on that one. Other than Caleb Cunningham, who's a freshman to watch for Ole Miss?
Ooh, I mean, he's not here yet, but I think Shekhi Mills-Knight has a chance to play early. And I say that because I would probably feel better about that if he was enrolled early, because that's what Quinshon did. Quinshon came in the spring, and again, we know what he did that freshman year. I think that probably helped give him a leg up. But I think Mills Knight is a guy who is going to play a part. He's a big, strong back that I don't think they have like that type of guy otherwise. And as we saw last year, Ole Miss struggled in short situations. JJ Big East was their best running back on short distances, and it worked a lot of the time, but against Florida, it didn't. You need running backs who can get those tough yards, and it feels like he might be one of those guys. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Obviously, we'll see how fast he picks things up, but just with the running back room, it feels like there is a chance for him to play a pretty big role.
Is I mean, he's I know he's not there yet either, but Caleb Cunningham, are there enough? I mean, there's a lot of competition in that receiver room. What's his role in year one?
That's tough because you keep bringing in these transfers who are sort of ready made. You don't bring them in to sit. You don't bring in guys who have had 400, 500 yards last year to sit on the bench. But I always feel like it's sort of been the long play with Cunningham. Like if he contributes this year, of course you'll take that. But I think this has always been about like what can he do the next year when this transfers are gone. Maybe he develops like Caden Lee did. Caden Lee had 200 yards or so as a freshman, and he really kind of caught steam late in the year. He had 900 yards ish last year as a true sophomore, and really was huge for them. So I think like that development plan would be big. Of course you want your five-star freshman to see the field early, but I think there's something to be said for like when you don't have to force them to be out there. And again, like Cunningham isn't here yet. You don't need to throw him out there early. You have time to let him learn how college football works.
Last question is the same one I'm asking everybody else. When we get to the Egg Bowl, last day of the season, what are we talking about with this Ole Miss team? What do we think they will be?
Before or after the Egg Bowl?
Well, we'll definitely say after.
Okay.
Hold
No, 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 no.
Are you saying there's a chance? What are you
No,
saying?
no, 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 no,
Okay.
no, no. I was just trying to say how many wins.
Okay, yeah.
I think 8-4, 9-3 is pretty fair for this group. If things go absolutely right, I think 10-2 could happen. I think by SEC standards, the schedule's favorable. You get Florida at home this time. You get South Carolina at home, and those are gearing up to be two of the really big games. You get LSU at home. You don't get Bama or Auburn. So I think that, again, it's still going to be tough. You're going to have tough road games. I think Oklahoma is going to be rough on the road this year with the investment they've made offensively in terms of
I just
upgrading.
talked to Eddie Radosovich, so yeah,
Yeah,
I got them on the brain.
I'm a huge Mateer fan.
He's really
He's
good.
a rest in peace to the Pac-12, but that dude was awesome. But I think that the schedule's favorable enough that if Simmons can get things going early, I think they've got a chance. I don't see anything like, I mean, famous last words. This doesn't strike me as like a 6-6 team or
Right.
anything like
The
that.
schedule
I
doesn't
think,
allow for that almost.
yeah, ex exactly. So I think 8 or 9 is probably the would be my best guess right now. Maybe they overperform, but I think that sounds right now.
We shall see. Obviously, with Ole Miss, we'll be keeping an eye, a close eye on them here on Sports Talk Mississippi. Michael Katz, the Daily Journal, Dodger fan. He's okay, I guess. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, man.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.